Okay, so we're here today at the Microsoft Development Center in Copenhagen. And can you tell us who you are and what you do?
Yeah, sure. My name is Ulrik Mølgaard Honoré. I work in the Dynamics AX department as a program manager within manufacturing. My main focus is, as I'm in within manufacturing, will be planning, master planning, and partially production planning as well.
So, Dynamics AX, production, and what does all this mean?
Well, Dynamics AX is a ERP system, so we have a lot of integrated information, and planning within Dynamics AX equals material planning mainly. We have, when you start, you'll have items, and you probably sell items and purchase those. In order to synchronize those issues and receipts, and figure out how much you should have, we have a planning engine to take care of that.
So, we're in a factory. Can you tell me how you use AX to do planning and control production?
Yeah, I can set up a small scenario and we can. A typical company will have, of course, a sales department because you need to sell the goods. And then, of course, based on what kind of company you are, you have either a deep level of production, and then to produce you need some goods, and that you will purchase. At least at some point of time you need to purchase the goods. You could decide to purchase semi-finished goods, and then just assemble and have a light production, just a simple line. Or you can have a more deep production where you actually just purchase the very raw material and do a lot of production. And our goal in Dynamics AX, of course, is to support any kind of company that have different kinds of production. You can say that you can have a make-to-stock environment, you can have a make-to-order environment, a simple-to-order, engineer-to-order, and all those terminologies indicates at what level you actually do your production and when you actually want to do some detailed planning.
So who actually uses Dynamics AX? I mean,
well, ideally, we'd have everybody in a company to use Dynamics AX.
Or for production specifically.
For production specifically, you would have, going from the low end, you would have Shannon, the machine operator, to enter material consumption and our consumption to do a specific item or a specific production order. She would need to give some feedback into Dynamics AX. And going up to last, the shop floor manager, he would need to have some ideas and overview of how many production orders are in the shop floor. Perhaps enable him to have some kind of a Gantt chart to just adjust and modify a bit. Overview of what materials need to be consumed. And then going all the way up to Tony, Eduardo. So everybody within operations would need to work with AX.
So as you know, I'm hearing a lot of this order stuff. Can you give us a picture of, you know, sales orders, how they end up being production orders and purchase orders and transfer orders and all that kind of stuff? Can you draw that out on the board for us?
Oh yeah, sure. I'll do that. So starting up having a sales order here. This is just short for a sales order. You'll have an item. Let's just for now call it item A. Item A is in this case, so we have different scenarios. It's built of item B and item C. Okay, item C is then again built of item D. So in this case, we actually, this is produced, item A and C. We can set up a star here. So these are both produced where B and D are purchased. So whenever you sell item A, you need to do something. If you don't have item A on hand in inventory, which for sure is not the trend right now that you just build to inventory and have them there, you'll have to do take some actions. And with the planning engine within Dynamics AX will then say, okay, let me check what I do have. And let's say the sales order is for 10 pieces. And I have zero on hand here. I have 5 here, 0 here, and 100 here. We need to figure out, okay, I need to produce 10 of these. And I need to purchase 5 because I have 5 and I need 10. Mm-hmm. Assuming, of course, we have a one-to-one relationship. I need to produce 10 here, but I don't need to purchase any of D because I have all on hand. Mm-hmm. The main purpose of this, of course, is to get an overview of which tasks do you need to perform. And you can decide on each item level how do you want to control this item. Because what you can see here is that I hold 100 on inventory, mm-hmm. which you probably will do for some very low cost items. Mm-hmm. It doesn't take much to hold them in inventory. The risk of obsolete is very little, like nuts and bolts. But if you have this one, could be more expensive or a produced part, you don't actually want to put produced hours into inventory, which is actually what you're doing when you put it on semi-finished good on inventory.
So where do you create production orders for what?
So in this case, I would create a production order for the two ones with a star. What will happen normally in a daily routine, here, is that Susan, the order taker, she would probably enter this order without knowing much about all this complexity.
Yeah.
She doesn't have to do that. She would need to enter the item A, and then you would go and she would just finalize the order taking. Uh-huh. At a nightly run, Dynamics AX will run the master planning, and it will generate a production order.
Okay.
For 10 pieces of this,
yeah.
It will generate a purchase order.
Okay.
For 5, and here a production order of 10, and this one would do nothing.
And where's the transfer orders?
Okay, so now you're getting a bit more complex. Right?
Okay. Right.
So no, let's take that one. You can have that this one is stored at a warehouse that is not actually where you're going to produce. So you need to transfer these from another warehouse within your company to a warehouse where you actually need to pick the good from for production. Mm-hmm. So in this case, you could have here a transfer. Hopefully you can read, it says transfer order. Uh-huh. So this one could kick off a transfer order if you actually have the goods on hand at a different warehouse, but you have set up that we can do transfers in here. And of course, all this, when I'm saying we just generate a production order, we just generate a purchase order and so on, and just generate a transfer order, we need to take time into consideration. Mm-hmm. So we probably have, normally would have a requested delivery date here at item A. Somebody who calls in, want to buy something, likes to know when. Mm-hmm. So you need to figure out how long time does that take to produce this. So let's go into this one. Let's zoom into this one. Item A. Mm-hmm. That was built of B and C, right? So you have build material called that indicates what is item A, what does that consist of. It consists of one B and one C. But then you need to produce it. Then you'd have operation 10. Mm-hmm. You can have operation 20. And you can have operation 30.
And these are operations that are...
That are operations that are that are made at the shop floor. Mm-hmm. This could be, let's say that item B is now consumed here. It's consumed at operation 10.
So operation is something like cut, weld,
that's cutting. This is cut.
Okay.
And this is then something you can cut. It could be steel or whatever. So you consume it here. Then you go here and you paint. And at 30 you assemble. Okay, so B is consumed here to cut. Mm-hmm. Then you paint the things that you cut it, and then you assemble the painted part B with C. Mm-hmm. Here. And then you have the outcome A, which is a painted, cut it piece assembled with C.
And what is that structure called?
That is called a route. Okay. So C now was built of B. So C could actually be built, and let's make this simple, just of one operation, which is D here. Okay, So this could be whatever, welding or whatever. You take D and do something with it, and out comes C that you produce. So now, whenever you take on the order, you suddenly have a total network, and now you can say this is a route network. You have multiple dependent demand, and you need to figure out when can I get it, because this one, V, you actually need it to purchase. So let's say that you have a purchase lead time here of 5 days, okay? Mm-hmm. So you need, actually, you know that you need it here, but you need to purchase it 5 days earlier. Mm-hmm. D, you need to transfer from another warehouse. So D will have actually a transfer time. Whereas B would have a purchase lead time. And of course, each operation will take some time. It takes some time to cut and paint and assemble. Normally, these times are quantity independent, and these times are of course quantity dependent. So producing, cutting 10 takes 10 minutes, cutting 100 takes 100 minutes, whereas purchasing is normally a fixed time.
So to say, I just want to get this straight, that we have a bill of material and we have a routing, and those are primary data structures that are used to drive these purchase order and sales order, transfer orders.
And production orders.
And production orders. Okay.
So what will happen is that you can link a route and a bill of material together, because what is obvious, and especially these days where you talk so much about inventory bindings and so, building the route that indicates that is actually the process of how you manufacture your good, your finished good. A semi-finished good. This could, of course, be consumed in another item and so on. But second is then to optimize your material flow. And as I indicate that C is consumed at operation 30, I can say that I don't need to build C here already. Because if I build C here, I would just keep it on inventory and build up inventory and actually have to pay off for inventory bindings and all that stuff you have in there. Plus the chance of obsolete. What if the customer calls in and cancels the order? It would have been stupid to build up C. Mm-hmm. Right. So all these things are really key. So you have the build material and you have a route, which is the manufacturing process. Mm-hmm. And you can link those together.
Okay, and then these orders are used to coordinate when people do the work? Is that...
Okay, so we go one level down now. Okay. So first thing was the order taking point.
Okay.
And I indicated here how you actually come from the order point and down to figuring out when you need these things.
Based on the bomb and the route.
Based on the bomb and route, and then the order type. This is the item type. The item here B is a type item.
So you've generated these.
I generate the production orders, purchase orders, and another production order. Actually, you can have multiple steps. First of all, after Susan takes on the order, you'll have a MRP or the master plan running that will figure out that it could be that you have multiple requests for B, so you actually want to purchase 100 or whatever. But we figure out the quantities. I focus on one order to simplify now.
Okay.
That will normally be a planned order. So Eduardo, the planner, would at next morning, he would see, well, there's a request for a production order of 10. And he can, from that screen, see what's the picking information. So why do I actually need this? Because normally, you would never build something that there's no reason to build. Right? Unless you have some safety stock margins and all that stuff. But for now, he would have a request to build 10. As soon as he affirms that, it will become an actual production order. The actual production order is then used for doing the detailed schedule about who should do what and when. Mm-hmm. So, let's just make this simple. Everything here takes 1 hour. Mm-hmm. So, you can at earliest start whenever they meet, the blue shirts meet in the morning. Shannon comes in and she will actually need, what do we need to do today? Mm-hmm. And that's the puzzle. We have one cutting machine. We have 100 orders. We need to figure out which order should be produced first. And for sure, Shannon needs to know what she should do when she meets at work.
Mm-hmm.
So, the production schedule will then, based on different settings, how detailed you want to do that, at least what is sure that you'll have all the production orders sequenced one after each other. So you, she should start, for example, to build this. Cut 10 of pieces B into whatever. You can add on the route, you can add some description of what the actual task is, so you can assign a document or whatever to attach to that. Normally, Shannons would know what to do whenever a item A comes, cut it, she would know that, or you can assign different...
So Shannon gets a production order, and then she does the work, and then says what she's done on the production order?
So how that's done is, of course, industry-specific as well. In some industries, you'd have, during the nightly run, you'd have a batch process that prints out all your job documents. So whenever Shannon meets in the morning, she just go to her, inbox, physical inbox, and pick up a piece of paper, the top one actually, and say, okay, I need to do 10 of A, cut those. And she goes up, document 10 of A, and she just check it and say, I used whatever. Perhaps she used 11 of B because she scrapped one, and then put it in. And then that would be a manual process for somebody to enter that into the Dynamics AX system to inform that this operation is now done. Or she could use the shuffler module to enter that directly into Dynamics AX from a user-friendly, perhaps even touchscreen-enabled monitor.
Okay, so,
but the important thing now is, of course, as soon as she's done, we need to let the planning engine, and this automatically happens as soon as she reports that operation 10 is done, she needs to tell the planning engine that you don't need to replan this one because the time has already been used, the material B has been consumed, so the availability of B has gone from you just purchased 5, so you had 10 on stock, now you have 0. So nobody else would come and say, well, I need to use 10B, but they're gone. So that is the kind of the key benefit of having an ERP system is that you have total integration. So if somebody else tried to sell B, they are no longer available.
Okay, so can you show us how people use AX to do this?
Yep, I can do that.
Right.
So you need to log on anyway here. So I don't have items called A, B, C, and D, but let's just find one good item here. I'm using the easy filter function. So right now I'm in Dynamics AEX in the inventory module, inventory management, and have opened the item master form. So I'm looking for items, and I'm just searching out to find one item that I know is a produced item. This item is called subcontracted lamp because it can contain some subcontracting functionality, so we actually want to subcontract one of the operations. Let's not focus on that right now. I have a button here called build material or BOM, and when I hit the lines, you can see that this item consists of a lot of items. It as well, it indicates where you're going to pick it from, and it indicates all the quantities needed. So in this case, I need three meters of cable to produce this lamp. And I need one plug and so on. So that's how it's built. Secondly, you have the route, which was how are we producing this. So this one is partly the same. You have three operations. The first one is assembly, so you assemble the lamp, then you paint it, and then you pack it.
Okay.
So that was 10, 20, and 30. Going back to the bill of material and to the lines, first item, the lamp arm, is consumed at operation 10. Okay. It indicates for me what when I assemble, I will assemble the lamp arm with I don't know what, with the plug and so on. So this is how you actually set this up. Another important thing is all of these items, of course, are individual items. Some of these
can be produced items, and some of these can be purchased items. We have an item name and indication up here, and the box here indicates to me that all of these are actually purchased.
Uh-huh.
It could be a subcomponent. And just another step, going to the subcontracted lamp, I hit the general tab on the item master and go to this one called courage group.
Uh-huh.
The courage planning in Dynamics AX is very important. I just go right click and go to the main table. Doing courage planning was this master planning task, which is the action planning engine.
Mm-hmm.
When I do my nightly run, or you can do this on a more frequent basis if you want, I need to figure out how should I figure out how much to produce.
Uh-huh.
This item was set to the period called the courage group called period. That indicates that I actually want to look 90 days ahead and group every issue for the next 90 days and produce that as one. So if I have the sales order of 10 and next week a sales order of 20 and so forth for the next 90 days, I'll probably end up with having one production order of 200. You can have different groups. You can, of course, set the period lower, which is, of course, the industry trend right now, that you set a lower period.
Mm-hmm.
Or you could have different types here. You can have requirements, so it always matches up one to one. But then we are into this discussion whether should I have multiple small orders, or should I group in one and save setup times, or should I go lean and go for the small quantities and so on. But the key thing here is that Dynamics AX supports whatever terminology you like.
Okay, so what I've done from an item, I've set up a BOM, I've set up a route, I've defined coverage parameters.
Precisely.
And now I've set up, and now I'm ready to take an order?
Yeah.
Okay.
So I take on the order now. So let's just use an existing order. I actually have it here, I can see. So I just, for the order purpose, I have the lamp I produced here with a quantity here of 10, and if I hit my inquiries, oops, wrong one, hold on, if I hit my inquiries explosion, I can see what it consists of. What you can see here is actually I do have Dynamics AX generate now a subcontracted lamp, that's the item number, and it has generated a planned production order. It tells me that I do have the cable on hand, I do have the lamp on hand, but I do need to have the transfers, which you just asked for earlier. So I need to transfer, and I can disclose this one, actually that I have some paint, and those I need to purchase. In this case, I need to purchase those in two purchase orders. Why? I can't tell right now, but it's based on the item setting.
Uh-huh.
This item could be that you can only purchase 1 liter at the time or whatever.
Okay.
I mean, so whenever you enter this one, you can have all the business processes modeled in the Dynamics AX tool to be taken care of.
Okay.
So actually Susan, the order taker, she doesn't care. So this is built. So let's move on. There's a purchase order here, transfer orders. I'll just focus on the ones for this order.
Okay.
Eduardo, the production planner, he would see multiple orders here. I need the lamp, the icon here indicates this is a production order. I need some transfer orders. I need to buy something.
Uh-huh.
So the task for Eduardo, of course, would be to evaluate whether this is something I need to build or not. For that, he can say, okay, why is it that I actually need to produce this one? Well, first of all, he knows that Dynamics AX will never suggest to build something if there's no need for it. But he can look for that down here, that I actually do have a sales order that is consuming the entire quantity of the order. So if I were at Wado, I would probably say, well, let's produce this because I actually have a customer that needs it. And you can go down here for the paint and you can actually see, well, I need to purchase this paint because I need to transfer it. And the transfer is used in a bill of material line. So you have a full overview here of why do you need to do it. We have some indications down here for Wado informing him that this is future set equals that you're actually later than expected and so on, so you probably need to hurry and stuff like that.
Okay.
So we have a lot of additional information to try to optimize your material flow. Action settings could see that I already do have a production order. Can you increase that one instead of generating a new one to limit the paperwork and all that? Okay, I'll just go here
Well, hang on. We took the sales order, then we went over to the production orders for Eduardo.
No, these are all planned orders.
Oh, they're all planned orders.
Okay, so based on your company size, you can have multiple Eduardos.
Okay.
Okay, so this one I have here, I have multiple order types.
Okay.
So Eduardo here, if you click here, you can actually see this is a plant production order. This one is a plant purchase order.
Okay, and then now what are we doing?
What we're doing is that Eduardo decides that this is what we're going to build.
Okay.
This can be built done or either automatically. Mm-hmm. We can have some different time fences that does this automatically, so Eduardo doesn't have to do it.
Okay.
Or this could be done manually.
Okay.
Most companies have a manual process to approve and firm the orders that you're going to produce. Okay. So what I'm doing is that I'm just firming these.
So Eduardo will firm the orders now.
Eduardo will firm the orders. Okay. In this case, I'm one Eduardo that takes multiple orders. I firm the purchase and the production and the transfer orders.
And what does it mean to firm these things?
Basically that, yes, I'm going to produce it. I'm going to build an actual order. This is just an order recommendation.
Okay.
So the actual order, normally you would have a total different flow. First of all, now we have used the bill of material and route that you have seen. This is the ones that you decide this is how I'm going to build it. Well, as soon as you firm it, we actually take out a copy of the bill of material and the route and copy that down to your production environment. Down there, you can have room for making minor adjustments or doing a detailed plan. So now, basically, for a company planning level, you're done. And now you go down to the detail planning level.
Okay.
Okay, the reason that this could take time is that based on your parameter setting, I could actually have set up that once you firm it, I'll automatically reschedule with detail planning for production. Okay, so let's go down to the production module now.
So who would be using this next module?
That would be Lars, normally.
And that's the shop floor supervisor?
Flow supervisor, yeah. You'll have Tony working here as well. But Lars will for sure be working within production. So going to the production and opening production orders. You can see that the subcontracted lamp has been created and it actually has status scheduled. So I already scheduled it. So let's go and look here. We have the same information basically that you have bill of material and route. If I click on the route, you can see the same 10 operations. But the scheduling actually indicates now that we have a start and an end time. So we start on the 11th and we end on the 13th. Note that we don't have any hours here. That's based on my schedule detail. I decide to schedule only on days. You can schedule down to the minute in Dynamics AX if you want. I don't want to go to that detail right now. And then of course, going into the bill of material, you can see on the quantity tab, we have some estimates here that you actually estimate to consume some more than the 10 pieces. That's because we have some estimates on scrap, that you are scrapping something, or you are, whenever you're cutting out, you of course actually scrap something in when you cut. That of course is taken into consideration when doing your material calculation. What I showed on the whiteboard, I said producing 10 of A uses 10 of B, that would already there have been 10 of multiple. So next thing is to actually move on. Just want to show you very quickly that going to accounts payable, purchase orders.
So now you're going to look at the purchase orders that you generate.
Yeah, you can see that the different purchase orders for the plugs and the paint has been generated. In order to finalize this in a normal flow, these would have needed to be purchased and put it on hand in inventory. That is normally Alicia that takes care of that to process purchase orders. We don't want to actually go into that detail right now because in my mind a purchase order is just you call your vendor and say I need it or send it or whatever.
Okay.
So next thing would be here to actually start the production order. Or release it to shop floor. So that is, again, industry-specific. If you release it, you can have Shannon to go to the touchscreen monitor and start them manually. Or you could, as last shop floor manager, say, okay, this is what I'm starting. That is, of course, based on company. So starting a production order, you'd need to build up here that you generate a route card so Shannon would have something to know what she needs to do, and a picking list. And how you're actually consuming your picking list is based on a lot of parameters in here. But in general, what I'm doing is I'm building up a pick list now.
And what is the pick list?
The pick list is what you need to pick for the production line.
Pick from the warehouse.
Okay. So this is, you need to go and get item, in our whiteboard case was, go get item B, C, and D.
Okay.
Right. And that would be, and you can see that now.
So this is Lars that would have, Lars the shop or supervisor would have done it. Or,
yeah, or Shannon,
or
actually.
Shannon. Okay.
Depending on, I mean, actually, as well, it is industry specific, right?
Mm-hmm.
That some industries and okay. countries, you allow your shop floor worker to start orders. Some
okay.
areas you probably don't.
Okay.
Okay. So first one here is that I decided to print out the pick list by operation, which is clever because you, I showed you that at operation 10, you pick something at and at 30 at something else.
Okay.
In this case, I'm consuming the paint at operation 20. So it tells me where do I need it, how much do you need. And in this case, I actually had suggested this consumption. You can manually enter that. I consume different what I estimated. Then it would affect your cost and so on. Okay, so this is what you need.
So Shannon uses this to pick yeah. the parts and...
Yeah, I'll give it to the warehouse worker, depending,
okay.
again, on the company size.
Okay.
And then I have another one here for operation 10, where I need to pick the lamp bar and the plug and all these things.
Okay.
And you can see your in-stock quantities and different here, which right now is different than what... So you have a lot of things. You have a delivery date, you have a scheduled start date when you need to start it, and a scheduled end date, and a different information up here. And of course then, very important I think, the reference to a sales order, so you'd actually know that I'm producing this to a specific sales order, and you can click on it and go to your order form here.
Mm-hmm.
This is what you can do. So now the order has been... started. You'd have people going out there and working on it, and you can do report as finished. Again, that can be done in a touchscreen environment or manually.
Mm-hmm.
If it's a paper, or you allow Shannon to work on this screen, you'd go and update and report as finished. When I'm doing this, I'm doing it in a batch. I'm starting operation 10, 20, and 30. Normally, you would do that operation by operation.
Mm-hmm.
Again, depending on your industry and depending on how much resource you're going to do on doing tracking. The benefit of doing it operation by operation is that master planning would know exactly where you are, right? The downside, of course, is multiple registrations.
Mm-hmm.
So it's up to you if you want to batch it or do it manually. If I say, okay, now I'm finished, I'm just doing all this
okay.
and reporting all of those as finished and going, okay, let's see what happens. Okay, I have some additional setup here that I need to do.
It's not good.
No. I'll just show you. What happened now was that it said I cannot report as finished because you cannot finalize until you're purchased.
Okay.
And I don't think we have time to purchase.
Okay.
You saw that. Going back to the sales order, just to indicate for you that we are talking about ERP system that are integrated. Going to this screen,
that's the sales order screen.
The sales order screen. You can actually see that we have a different view now. Before it was a planned order. Now you can actually see it's an actual production order. Everything here has changed to actual orders. And if this was finalized, which I should have done, it would have been on hand.
Hmm.
So she would be able to actually sell it and continue the process. Of course, you can go here and go to the picking information and jump around and see the status and all that stuff. Or she could just go for the detail here. You can see it has a scheduled arrival date here on the 13th, so she would have the information from here. So that was a very quick flow.
Yeah, very quick. So we started off on the sales order. We ran the production scheduling. We got a whole bunch of purchase orders, transfer
orders, production orders.
Production orders. we registered the work that we completed on those, and then coming back to the sales order, you're able to see the
progress.
This progress.
Yeah, which,
that's cool.
Yeah, and I mean, what we didn't touch at all was, of course, we have made additional transactions, like we would have traceability of when did you do what, and all the costing part was taken care of. I mean,
we have to do that next time.
Yeah.
Thanks. Okay. All right.